I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, and welcome to I'm Watching a Movie. I'm Alessandra Vite. And you're listening to the podcast where Alex and I talk through an entire movie.
Yeah.
Now, this is the edited version, which means that we edit out all the stuff that you don't want to hear, which is us basically silently watching a movie and or me telling Alex about my plans that day. So it's for your pleasure. And so if anything doesn't make sense to you or you're like, oh, that's a weird edit, it's because we edited it for you. Anyways, enjoy watching a movie with us.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hey,
welcome to I'm watching a movie. What was that?
Now we make eye contact with each other and I don't like that.
What was the noise? You went, You know the name of our podcast. An impossible search name. You always have the wrong number of H's.
Yeah, wrong number of H's. There was apparently another podcast called I'm Watching a Movie.
No.
What's ours called?
No, we're someone else's weird.
Oh, fuck.
Never put a preposition in your name.
Yeah. There's so many problems with what we've entitled this podcast. But guess what? We're one of a million podcasts.
Yeah. Finally, lost in the noise.
Yeah. We have a very special, lovely guest with us. John, I don't know how to say your last name.
Leshinsky. Super easy to pronounce.
Is it super easy to pronounce?
Everyone loves making fun of it.
Is it? So John Leshinsky. John is a Sonar connection.
Yep. I know Michael, one of the partners, I guess, or whatever you would call it in Sonar.
It's odd to call it. For me, I've only ever called him Mike, and to be like, I literally had a thought of, who's Michael? Like,
I have to call him Michael Mongiardi.
We used to call him by his full like Christian name.
Yeah, Mikhail. Michael and I have a very fun relationship where we're constantly in a feud, and I don't know why.
Oh.
I think one day he was on like a group email chat, and he said something annoying, and then I started to like be rude to him, and it's been like that ever since.
Yeah, and the two of you end up in a lot of group chats. It's not even a bit. Like, the two of you end up in a lot of group chats where you just are mean to each other in a group chat.
It's something brutal to each other. Great guy. We were on that Make Break a Wish podcast together. You guys should listen to it because we it's really funny. We talk about sexy minions. Anyways, John, movie have you graced us with?
We are going to watch Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
The movie that saved Star Trek.
Did it save Star Trek?
Yes. The first movie was so long and boring that people thought it was dead and done for. And this movie saved it.
Okay, I have a feeling I might also think this one's long and boring.
Most likely.
You've entered into like a no-win situation.
Perfect for this movie.
Who's hot in it? Press play, Alex.
All right, we're going to start it.
Where is it?
Is it making noise? Is it doing?
It is moving.
There it goes.
We did it.
There we go. Cool.
So I know nothing of Star Trek.
So the premise of this movie is based on an episode from the original series called Space Seed, where they meet a... Well, they come across a ship floating in space. Yeah. It's a sleeper ship that contains augmented humans, so superhumans, from the year 1996.
Whoa!
Okay. Who left the planet because they were being killed because they tried to take over the world. The character in this, Khan, controlled most of Asia.
Is Khan an actor?
No, it's Ricardo Montalban. Plays Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say.
And
I feel like I know.
He's played by Benedict Cumberbatch in the new movies.
Oh, Khan is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, 1996. That's the year they picked.
Yes, so they thought like things would be a lot further forward.
Yeah, this is a movie in the 80s. Didn't they understand how time worked?
No, they thought they thought things would be a lot better by now.
Like, didn't they go like, okay, it's the 80s now. What was 20 years ago? Oh, the 60s. Here's what's changed. Let's think about that.
Well, the first episode that this came from was in the 60s.
Oh.
So it was even further forward.
So I guess if you were comparing like the 60s to like the that would be like the 30s. You're like, okay. There's a big enough jump.
Yeah, between the 30s and the 60s, what is that? Did air travel exist before in the 30s? I don't think so, right?
The 20s, I think air travel existed.
But was it?
There was people who flew airports in like World War One? So
yeah, biplanes.
I'm just trying to help these people out. They did a real miss. Kirstie Alley.
This is her first big role.
Introducing. And sorry, I think this brought. I feel like I've a long time ago memory of watching Ricardo Montalban's E! True Hollywood Story. And I'm pretty sure that this movie like brought him back from obscurity.
Well, he was in whatever that island show he was in.
Oh, Fantasy Island?
Fantasy Island, when this came out.
Oh,
so he was kind of a star still at this point.
I feel like something.
But this is like his only like major movie credit.
Yet I know his name, and I do not watch any of those things. Well, Fantasy Island was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
That's the one with, like, the plane.
So at the end of the episode, he tried to take over the Enterprise. They stopped him. They sentenced him to be marooned on a planet, SETI Alpha 5, and just to live out their lives there. And at the end of the episode, Spock says, you know, what seed have we planted? What will germinate from this in the future? This what happens.
In the 23rd century, they're wrong. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the 23rd century. This is 23-something.
Oh.
This movie's set in the 23rd century. Khan is from 1996.
Oh, Khan's from...
They were on a sleeper ship in cryogenic stasis, and they discovered them in the TV episode. So this is after they've been marooned
on the
planet.
And the whole episode wasn't him just screaming, what is this? What's happening?
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't
He's a
super point
to... I mean, he can pick up real quick. Like, he read the manual for the ship and was able to take it over right away.
Oh, I wish I could do that. Because I read the manual for something and then immediately break it. Whatever the opposite of an augmented human is, or like the augmented human who really didn't do good. Like the first mistake. That's what I am.
So Star Trek has been going on since the 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's been several iterations of it. So this is the second iteration.
This is the same cast as the original TV show.
Okay. But at this point, had Patrick Stewart...
No.
Is there Patrick
That's
Stewart Star Trek movies?
Yep, there's four of them.
Okay.
And only one of them is good.
Okay. Kirstie Alley, man. She's a great... I like her. Do you guys ever watch Fat Actress?
No.
I wonder if it would hold up.
What's Fat Actress? I've never
so
even heard
of Kirstie Alley gained a whole mess of weight. And she would... make jokes about it, but I have a strong feeling she was going through like
something. New antidepressants.
Yeah, like she gained a bunch of weight. She kept being like, I discovered you could add butter to stuff. And I was like, I think maybe something happened. But she created a TV show called Fat Actress. And it was like before before Curb Your Enthusiasm, but it was that same idea.
Yeah. Okay.
And I feel like if Netflix and Crave and all that stuff existed, I bet you it would be successful.
But it was like on like, it was like next to like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, I think it, like it might legitimately have been on TV Land. But yeah. I like her. She's a likable woman, but I only have seen her in Look Who's Talking.
Oh, yeah.
So what is it about this movie that you enjoy? What is it about Star Trek that you enjoy?
I don't know. It's something I watched as a kid and just has stuck with me. It's a vision of a brighter future, a utopia. I don't know.
But a utopia is just like traveling on a spaceship, like,
yeah, they're on a spaceship to better mankind. They're not on a spaceship for like personal gain or to acquire wealth. They're there to expand humanity's knowledge of the universe.
I do like it's better mankind, and all they seem to do is show up someplace and fuck it up for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very funny how they get exploded, but it's like they do like a back roll every time they fall down. Well, I mean, that is what invading countries is like. Like, technically... Yeah.
I don't know why they have such big guns to be peacekeepers.
Yeah. Has a country ever been invaded for the better?
It depends on what your description of better is. And the answer is no.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Was this very exciting? Is this why they're making him like have an entrance?
So the script for this movie leaked. And in the script, Spock dies.
Mm. Whoa.
So they put this at the beginning of the movie to trick viewers into thinking that this was his death.
Oh.
And this is a training exercise because he's an admiral now. He's not the captain of a starship anymore, and he's overseeing the training of new Starfleet cadets. And there's a test called the Kobayashi Maru, which is a no-win situation.
Okay.
Where you basically have to like reason your way out of it. And you can't.
I see.
So it's a test to see how you'll face certain death.
Okay. This doesn't feel like a movie, I'm not going to lie. It feels a lot like the TV show. It also just starts.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I wish more movies just started.
No, they do, and they're usually pretty bad. You know that movie, Mordecai?
Oh, yeah. Mordecai just starts.
Yeah, Mordecai is a movie with Johnny Depp that when I was in the Skechers, since it was before your time, when we had the new cast come on, it was like a year into me being in it, we did like a bonding thing where we all went to go watch Mordecai because we thought, what a preposterous movie this is. It had like Gwyneth Paltrow, Johnny Depp, Ewan McGregor. It was a star-studded cast.
But the entire like... promotional material for it is just Johnny Depp with a dumb fucking mustache. Like,
and with the words that say, who is Mordecai?
Yeah. Huh.
And honestly, well, here's the deal. We went to go see a late show at Rainbow Cinema. We all got as fucked up as humanly possible. People were on like ecstasy or like M, I guess, not ecstasy. We're not in the 80s. people were on M and shrooms and like hammered and just so high, and we got real nuts and we watched Mordecai, and there was only one other person in the theater, and then about 5 minutes in they just got up and left because they're like, I'm not dealing with whatever's happening here. And then we just had the time of our lives. We were taking pictures, like Jill was doing like cartwheels and stuff like around. And that movie just started, and then at one point Annie stood up on the chairs like Roberto Benigni style, like at the Oscars, and started screaming at us saying that it's not that bad a movie.
So the big theme of this movie is getting older. He's playing... like
they don't look young. I'll put it out there.
Well, he thought he could with makeup play a still a younger version of Captain Kirk, but they convinced him to play like a 40-year-old in this movie. Mm-hmm. And he's really like coming to terms with like, I'm old as fuck now.
Oh, and that's why they have younger people that they're training.
Yeah. He'll get a set of glasses as a present here shortly.
Oh, that's funny.
Was he given a book earlier as a birthday present?
Is Star Trek funny?
No.
No way.
I don't like you thinking about it.
It can be, but it's like inside jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it has a sense of humor, though.
Yeah.
Because the fact that he would get like glasses as a gift.
I would love for the rest of the movie to just be people giving him gifts that prove he's older. Like just like at any given point in the movie, just like, oh, here's a, you're gonna need this soon. It's like a full coffin.
I have a question. Do they have their own full coffin? Do they have their own vocabulary in this movie?
What do you mean?
Because they said don't be a prig, like P-R-I-G. Is that a Star Trek word? Or is that a real word?
No, that's like a real English word.
I've never heard of this word before.
Neither have I.
Don't be a prig? Yeah. Is it a prick, but with a G?
I guess, yeah. I think it's like British.
Okay. They both look like the same man to me.
Both of them do?
Yeah. They have the exact same color, skin, and hair.
It was the 80s. It's all going to be white men.
I mean, we watch a lot of movies from the 90s, which is...
white.
Very similar.
Yeah, a lot of white men.
And sexy women. I thought the point of Star Trek was that it was like the UN. Like, am I wrong?
Well, there's a United Federation of Planets that they're a part of.
Okay.
Which is kind of like the space UN.
Right. Okay.
You, popcorn tastes just like movie theater popcorn. Like I would think
this
it would,
is movie theater.
I know. I would think it would taste different.
John brought us movie theater popcorn because he lives near a movie theater, and I think that's a real classy thing to do, John. I put out my traditional grapes. I don't know why.
I love your grapes.
Listen,
just the grapes.
I like grapes. They're my favorite fruit. This winter season, you know what happened? I got a really bad cold about a month ago or 2 months ago, and I've been on a grape kick ever since because they really made me feel better when I had a cold.
Do you peel them and eat them?
No,
the skin?
It was just the... I don't peel a grape. Do you peel a grape?
No.
Okay.
But I know like some people do that.
Babies
weirdos.
Do that because they can't chew the skin.
As far as I know, only Roman emperors peel grapes.
Yeah, just trying to see if you're a Roman emperor.
There's a Diana Krall song that says, peel me a grape. It's pretty jazzy.
Thanks,
you guys like Diana Krall? No? You guys know Diana Krall? She's married to Elvis Costello?
Yes, I know Diana Krall.
Who is this guy? What's happening?
That's Dr. McCoy. He is the chief medical officer for most of the series. He's the guy who says he's dead, Jim.
So at this point, he thinks he's old, but he's only 40, right?
Yeah, I think he's like 48 maybe, or 38. One of the two.
He doesn't look 38. I'll give him that. As a 31-year-old, I refuse to believe that he looks 38.
Yeah, I'm 35, so I'm kind of
no,
rolling
no,
up on
that.
No,
he's not 38. It looks like what's it's like from Men in Black 3 when he's like, got them city miles.
You're quoting Men in Black 3 as if we all know?
That is my favorite line from any trailer because I didn't see Men in Black 3. Where he asks Josh Brolin, who's a young Tommy Lee Jones, how old is he? Because they time travel. And he says that he's 25. And then he looks at him and goes, them some city miles on you.
I just can't believe you quoted Men in Black 3 so confidently.
I love that.
As you were sitting here being like, I don't watch Star Trek. I'm better than this dork shit.
I don't think I'm better than. I just, sci-fi makes me... very bored. I'm so sorry. But I have a very low tolerance for anything that isn't romantic comedy. You know why? And I'll tell you why.
Go for it.
I want human connection. I don't care about the blip blop and the bloopy.
Well, there is a lot of human connection in this movie. It's also a story about friends.
Aww.
And the sacrifices they make for each other.
What? Yeah, I guess humans
the
are talking
sacrifice.
To each other. But we're talking a lot about like...
preanimate matter?
Yeah, preanimate matter.
So there's a device that these scientists are working on called the Genesis device. It's a planet terraforming torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll shoot it at a planet and it changes the planet into something with brand new life.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like the Omega weapon like in this movie that is going to be dealt with a lot.
I do like the 60s vision of the future.
Oh, I freaking love it. I think this is a really coolly, like, aesthetic film so far.
Yeah. But yeah. I it's also, like, a bit cool, like generally future-looking things, like curved hallways.
Mm-hmm.
But then it'll also be like
no
the
angles.
TV they talk on is like
it's like a CRT TV.
It's like a little like it's like just barely able to project an image. Like.
Yeah.
Well, there was a point in time where we were like, if it's better, it's huger. And then something switched. Who was that? Was that Steve Jobs who was like, nah, let's make it small? No,
Steve Jobs wanted things to be as small as possible. And then once he died, they started making ginormous iPhones.
It's true, which actually. I hate. I mean, I'm on an 8, which when I first got it, it looked pretty big. But look how tiny it looks now.
Yeah, I'm on the SE, the
The SE?
The 7.
The
7 form factor.
My favorite phone to this day was my SE.
Yeah.
The body of a 5, the brain of a 6.
Yeah. I've got a stupid LG, and it makes my thumb hurt when I use it too much.
Wow.
It's too big.
And my parents both have Android phones, and they are not an intuitive machine. Like they like when my and they're bad with computers to begin with, my parents, and they'll be like, oh, my phone, blah blah blah, and then I'll look at it, I'll be like, huh, this is hard. Like, I won't understand how to work it. I like this look too.
Yeah. This is much prettier than I remember old Star Trek being.
Yeah, the old Star Trek TV show is hot garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of visuals. The first movie they did was like they blew the budget on it. It was like the most expensive movie at the time and no one cared for it. So they really scaled back on this movie, but they still did a lot of like great visual practical effects.
Is the director known? I didn't recognize his name.
Nicholas Meyer, I think, directed this. He wasn't really well known. And pretty much everyone who worked on this movie, like in the writing and the executive end, never had seen an episode of Star Trek.
Oh.
Really?
They quickly watched a couple, like, the series and, like, picked the villain from that episode and said, let's make a movie about this.
Whoa. What a time. Imagine if that happened nowadays. People would go to that director's house and murder him with blood.
Yeah. People, think about how, this is not really before, but, like, kind of the precursor to all, like, the nerd mob justice.
Yeah.
That happens. But that is... I mean, I wish more like that happened. I wish to see the Star Wars, and someone's like, I ain't ever seen Star Wars.
Wow. There's just too much of availability of content now, so you're a real dick if you don't know. Like, this is like, you'd have to like...
get the tapes from Paramount.
Yeah, you'd have to drive to LA.
Yeah, because Ricardo Montalbán actually had to request the tapes to see his old performance so he could like...
remember. Oh, he's like from the 60s.
Yep, he's from the TV show.
Oh, that's fun.
And the composer for this as well. If we're going to get into some deep information. This is his first big film too. James Horner. He also did Alien.
And Titanic.
And if you listen to the Alien soundtrack, a lot of it is lifted from this soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't have enough time to do the Alien soundtrack, so he just like pulled stuff that he already did.
I mean...
I appreciate... I do that. It's like me doing homework when I was like in university and had like... I'm like, oh, my subject is... My subject for this essay is the same as the subject of the essay I wrote in a different class.
That's very funny. Oh my God, once in high school, it was so bad. I just used my friend who had done, she did grade 12 history in grade 11. And so when I was in grade 12, I just used one of her essays.
Ooh.
I know.
They didn't have plagiarism checkers, I guess.
I think they did, but you know, like I looked at it and I like changed a couple of things and I don't feel bad now that I admitted that.
I don't even know how to write an essay, so that's fine.
I've trapped myself in a thing where I write for the Beaverton and all it is an essay. And I was like, I can't believe I wound up doing this. A loose essay, but it's still like a thesis, a blah, blah, blah.
I do like that the Beaverton keeps the meta fiction alive that people read the articles.
No one should read the articles. It's dumb if you do. I say that as someone who writes the articles. Now, he looks old, but he looks great.
Yeah, wait. Like, most of the movie, his chest is, like, out. People thought he had, like, a fake chest. It was, like, so, like, muscular.
But there's, like, an 80s muscular that, like the 80s, like, yeah, look how muscular it is, and now it's, like... everyone is like so shredded. Like,
yeah.
Here's the deal. Our skincare techniques have really improved. Because everybody in this movie, because I'm thinking like, does everyone I watch have Botox and blah, blah? But no, we have better makeup and dewy, like we're more into dewiness now.
Yeah.
So that our skin looks like healthy. And here everyone looks real chalky.
All these actors that are with Ricardo here, they're all Chippendale dancers. That's the vision of the future of augmented superhumans is Chip and Dale dancers.
That's so funny.
They all have the most feathered blonde hair.
Yeah, that was the look at the time.
Man, I know it's like a 1960s future is kind of what they're grabbing at, but like it just makes the 80s-ness of certain things just fucking punch right through.
Yeah,
like just like look at her, she couldn't exist in any other era.
No, no. And look at those big belts behind them. Even quite frankly, their suits are super 80s.
You know, fashion is cyclical. It'll come back around.
Actually, I feel like fashion now because of the internet. This is my hot take.
Oh, a take so hot.
Get ready.
That starts with fashion now because of the internet.
There are things that are on trend, but there's no more things of being out of fashion or in fashion anymore because everything exists at the same time because we have access to seeing what everyone looked like. So you could wear something that was, I guess, more popular in like the 60s, but you're just repurposing it. And then people know that it's retro because we have that knowledge. But like, but if you wore something in the 90s that was from the 80s, we didn't really know what 80s looked like. And we would just say like you're out of touch.
Well, I was going to say that's not true because if I started dressing like I did in the mid 2000s, people would make fun of me.
Alex, that's in. Do you not know that mod robes and velvet
scrunchies? How I dressed in the mid 2000s was like skin tight jeans, white belt, and a tiny t-shirt.
Oh
like,
my
or very
a
baggy
white belt.
Yeah, I love it. Or a very baggy jeans and a very baggy hoodie, depending on what part of the mid 2000s you look at.
That's in. Yeah. Do you see how Kanye West dresses? Do you see how all the Kardashians dress?
All in silver.
Oh my God, that was very funny. It's the Tin Man right here.
Yeah, I'm going to show up dressed like Kanye West.
I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians because I have a sickness. And they were going through someone's, I think it was Kim's closet because they had to find something. And all she had was just like a million hoodies just in varying degrees of khaki. Like, they just, started... It looked like a sandstorm when you opened her. But I'm not going to lie. She had a lot of Kanye West concert merch, and I wanted all of it.
That's so funny. Because I think of, like, when I've played in bands, and your band breaks up, you end up with, like, a few boxes of, like, merch with your band's name on it just, like, sits in your parents' garage forever. And then, like, you're like... It's like you don't want to wear a t-shirt with your own old band on it. So like you being like it's her closet is filled with Kanye West merch. It makes me think of just like every ex-girlfriend I have just like sleeps in t-shirts with like bands on them.
That's very funny. But you wish, Alex. All your ex-girlfriends sleeping in your band t-shirts?
No. I mean, I doubt any of them have it anymore. I doubt they're holding on to these like cheap t-shirts with like bad bands on it.
I'm trying to think what I have. I don't have anything from boyfriends. Except I have like a couple pieces of jewelry that Ben gave me. And then...
Greg didn't give you a bunch of stuff?
No. Greg gave me one Christmas gift that was like a bunch of weird inside jokes that didn't really make sense. And then I had a hoodie of his for a really long time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My computer's mad at me.
Well, let's vamp. I had a hoodie of his for a really long time. And then I wore it a lot. But then when we broke up, it made me feel real sad. So I gave it right back to him. I don't know why I do that. Do you wear any of your ex-girlfriend's stuff, John?
No. My current girlfriend would not appreciate
no.
that. So the planet is like a wasteland now. It's just a desert planet that they've been trying to survive on for like the last 20, 30 years.
Oh, so them coming is kind of like a way out of this like desolate place? Yep. So is he trying to, like, scare them?
Oh, he's going to fuck them up real good.
Yeah? Why?
He's going to put little lizards in their ears to take over their brains.
Oh, no.
And you get to watch them go into their ears.
No. Why, though?
It's a mind control thing. Just,
oh, okay.
It's easy.
Now, because he wants to take over the Star Trek ship?
He wants revenge now. He's like, because his wife died because of them being on this planet. So now he's just like consumed with revenge. It's a very like Captain Ahab, Moby Dick type of situation now for him.
This wig works pretty great. Did he think that they had come, like, hold on. They thought that they were coming to save him? Is that what he assumed?
These guys were just surveying planets. They didn't realize they were on the wrong planet.
Oh, okay.
And they ran into these guys. And
so it was like by chance. Like he didn't have some sort of plan. No. Or like,
no.
That's some bad luck. Whoa, look at that chest.
Well, it does look fake.
It looks like he had pec implants, which may be.
It looks a little bit like a drag queen's like breastplate.
Yes. It looks like, you know, when A Star Is Born, the one that Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, yeah.
No. That's not what he puts inside his ears.
No, he grabs the babies from that to put in their ears.
No.
It grows into that inside their heads.
No.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have irrational fears of, like, bugs climbing in their ears as well?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can't even think about that because I'd lose my mind. I can't let my brain go
there. That's what your earwax is for.
Is that what it's for?
Yeah, to keep bugs out.
Well, then I'll never fucking clean my ears again. This is so cruel for everyone involved.
I literally go to a doctor once every few months to get my ears cleaned.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like candle wax?
No, they have like a big vacuum cleaner thing.
But do you have hard wax or soft wax?
Gooey soft wax, but I also have terrible ears. Like I go there also for like hearing checks to make sure I'm not going deaf.
Oh, okay.
It's just like they're like waiting to pull the trigger on like hearing aids.
Oh, really? You know, I never... You never seem like you can't hear what I'm saying. Maybe that's best for you.
let's say you were a bass guitar, the instrument I play.
Mm.
In my left ear, I can't distinguish the tone, but in my right ear, I can.
Oh, and that's why you go and you get those like
tone tests
or whatever.
Yeah, and then I can also like, if you watch our band, my current band play, I stand on the right side so I can, and we face each other. I mean, the guitarist. So my ear is facing towards my
You should definitely wear earplugs.
I can't hear. It's like, because everything's just turned down. So I have it.
But you should still wear earplugs because it doesn't matter because you can't hear.
Yeah, probably.
It's to protect. If anything, if you can hear, that's all the more reason to wear earplugs. No.
Interesting.
You refuse.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
That's how they put it in the ear?
Yeah, they put it in the helmet and then it just crawls in there.
No.
Imagine one got real confused and goes in the nose and is just like, just lost, like, help. Just one dumb baby slug.
Now, how are you going to control that mind?
I don't know how it works, but it works.
No. He just assumes. He's just like, now where's the remote?
Yeah.
What do you mean remote? You just put slugs in their ear for nothing? Like, yeah. They both die. All right, we had one chance and you fucked it up with your slug gambit.
Your one chance? So I just thought it would be fun to see what happens.
The rest of the movie is just them infighting on the desolate planet.
Wrath of Khan. Oh yeah, of course it's a revenge story.
Wrath of Khan is just a managerial conflict.
Yeah. Wait, you had no plan with that? Well, I just thought slugs went inside the ears. They're dead, like, immediately.
Walk me through.
Okay.
Like, here's,
okay.
Walk me through.
So here's the deal. I noticed that these things, they don't have babies. They have slugs. Want to pry those slugs?
I'm following up to here.
Okay.
Here's the jump. Mm. All right? You put it in their ears. Gross. One.
Kind of sexy.
We'll put a pin in that for later.
Okay. Gross. It's like something going into a hole. But anyways.
Gross, one. Mm-hmm. But two, how does that lead to mind control?
Oh. that's the Wrath of Khan.
He throws a pizza party as an apology.
Guys, I'm sorry. That's very funny.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Even in this...
Sorry, I'm making fun of our fun jokes.
even in this... Like, hold on. In this future, there's a whistle that still exists?
It's a bosun whistle. So they wanted this... Nicholas Meyer wanted this to have a very like nautical theme to it.
Why?
Because the original show was based on
the Navy.
Horatio Hornblower, which is like another like is a British naval.
Oh,
is that the
British
thing where it's like master and commander stuff?
Kinda, yeah. So they wanted it to have more of a naval feel. Like they're in space. It's kind of like being at sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of like being at sea. You can't do anything but be inside.
Yep. Or you die.
Yeah.
Space sharks.
I'm just laughing at the on the Star Trek Enterprise, there's a it was an improv team to entertain the crew.
Because it's a cruise ship?
Yeah.
Okay, so like Mondays to Friday, there's an improv, and then the weekends, it's like a dance thing. They recreate Moana.
That's more in the future. So the Enterprise D and the Next Generation would have stuff like that for sure.
Really?
Because they had families aboard the ship at that point. Oh. This is like a battle cruiser.
Okay, so John, right now in the comedy community, there's this guy that he has like a contract, so he just takes improvisers every 6 months or whatever, 4 months. Mm-hmm. And so it's a real consideration when you want some cash. You think like, oh, should I go on the boat?
Yeah. Because you make some pretty decent money for 4 months.
Like, you make decent money.
People die on those things all the time. You just go missing and you never come back.
Not all the time.
All the time.
I will say that someone did die on...
Yeah.
Whose ship was it, though?
Every time someone goes out there, they come back being like, yeah, like 2 people committed suicide on the ship. Like,
committed suicide? I thought it was like an elderly person.
Oh, an elderly person did die on someone's ship. But like, I know like everyone's just like, yeah, you're not supposed to like talk about it, but like it's just stuff like people jump off the boat.
Yeah, that's a lot. That I'm happy that you've told me that because I think I'm too sensitive and that would really upset me to the point where...
Have you seen Patriot Act on Netflix? Yeah, they have an episode about the cruise industry.
Yeah, really?
Oh. Yeah, where it's like people just go missing and like and the people are raped and like nothing is done about it because they're Navy, international waters.
No fucking way, though.
Yeah.
But even if you're on international waters, if you're a part of like a corporation, like shouldn't they have some
because
sort of insurance?
Because the corporations are based out of the Philippines... They don't have to follow really any laws, or not the Philippines, but like some Bahama country. They don't have to follow like U.S. laws, and but all
it's
their.
It's not just the U.S. that believes in not rape. There's other countries. That's. I don't know if I'm ever gonna go on that boat. I'm a little bit annoyed though, because if I was gonna go on the boat, I would have gone these past few months.
Yeah, these boats.
The
have
winter
been good.
Months.
Yeah, the winter. Well. I had friends that have been on since like end of October and they're coming back in January. And like, I would have liked to have been on their boat.
And then friends who are hopping on.
And also, it's just been like a slow acting season for me. So it just would have been nice to like, I don't know. But how could I have known that it was going to be slow? And the joy of this brutal industry, you never know your schedule. Even when I make a dentist appointment, they're like, how about same time in 4 months? And I go, sure. Who knows where my world will be at that point?
I guess, yeah, I live a very similar life. Anytime anyone talks to me as if I know it's going to happen in 4 months,
yeah.
I'm always just like, who are you? Like,
yeah, the only thing I know is like, if you have a wedding, I'll do my best.
My girlfriend's parents is who it truly confuses because they're like, we're gonna have dinner. When's Alex free? And then she's like, my girlfriend's like, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, how about this time on this day? And then message me like, oh, I got like a show. It's like, does he always do shows? Like,
yes. Yes. Yes, all of the time. Yeah, that's my own mom to myself asking me on Sundays, can I come? And I go, well, you see. I have a meeting with Beaverton. That's the only time that we meet for edits. So I can either do early in the day or like a dinner. She goes, great. So 4 o'clock. I go, no. And this has been for almost 2 years now. She just always wants to have
an early
lunch.
Does she have dinner at 4 o'clock?
Well, we have a late lunch, early dinner. It's her favorite thing to do on Sunday. Italian. One big super meal.
Like an Italian.
Stop muttering that I'm Italian under the mic.
Just goddamn passive heads.
You know what? You'd be freaking honored to fucking...
Oh, I would love to come to one of your family's dinners. Every time I've come for food at your family's place, it's so fucking good.
It's delicious.
I would... If next time, if Mama Vite is like looking for an extra...
Listen, I have a chicken cutlet in my fridge right now because I couldn't make lunch. Okay, are they back?
Yeah, they're back on their ship. Khan's controlling them now, and they're going to the space station to steal the Genesis device.
And this is Chekhov, right?
Yep. So he wasn't in the episode, actually, that Khan was in the original series. So Khan shouldn't know who he is, but he does. Continuity error. That's what happens when you don't watch the show and decide to write a movie about it.
Like, I know you said, like, all the like, Khan's gang are all, like, Chippendale dancers.
Yeah.
But if you told me all these people are Chippendale dancers too, I'd believe you. Just like the thinner Chippendale dancers.
Yeah. They're the B squad.
The afternoon crowd.
Now, this guy, this blonde one, do all Chippendale dancers have to be blonde, or is that like
I don't think so.
Blonde men.
It was just the style at the time.
I was like, who is this actor? And like, look at their pretty, pretty arms. This type of buffness, I could really write a sonnet about. It's thin but cut, if that could be.
I didn't, like, now watching, I'm like, oh yeah, there's I'm going to say something for Vitae, which is sounds gross. There's something, I wouldn't have assumed there's something for Vitae in this movie, but then now, remembering, there's a lot for Vitae.
Look at Ricardo Montalbán's, like, his tricep, you could see through the slight hole in his sweater. How does he... Do you think he exercises by, like, lifting cars? He definitely has, like,
cars? Not weights.
I mean, that's what you lift if you want to get buff, yeah, right? Yeah, cars. Yeah.
Just lose Volkswagen.
Yeah.
He, start like, with a Beetle, work your way up to a bus.
Yeah.
He definitely doesn't have traditional workout methods. He'll probably go for a run with a garbage bag.
He's got those, like, old 1920s workout methods where he's, like, lifting, like, large triangular weights in odd ways.
100%. Yeah. And he's always like, use your back when you lift, not your legs. Are these two gonna do it? No. Does he do it with anybody? Isn't he or
not in
slut?
This movie? Well, he is, and that factors into this movie as well. The blonde dude, the scientist, it's actually his son. He banged the chick. That's the dude's mom.
I was gonna say that dude and kid. The mom had sexual chemistry.
No, they're related, so incest.
Oh, we love incest.
I know.
interrupt our fun incest conversation. Whoever did set design fucking knocked it out of the park. I mean, I only ever saw this movie on VHS as a kid, and I never got a full view of the set. And I'm like, damn. Like, that's just an elevator and hallway, and it looks like it's lived in, but also interesting. And
interesting. Because to me, it looks like regular, but
I just like even just like the adding of like, oh, it's got green corrugated walls or whatever. Like, it's just unusual, but
lived in. Well, it's a lot of muted colors for the movie, unless it's just the movie itself.
They used a lot of what are called corrupt colors. So it's like, it's just off of the actual pure color.
Oh.
So it makes it look like it's more exotic because it's not a color you would normally see.
Interesting.
I love when people show up with facts.
Yeah, so much thought put into a movie that I will never remember seeing. So he used to do stuff
her.
To her?
Yeah.
Fucking right. I'm just happy when people have sex.
I mean, he obviously raw dogged it at least once.
Hey!
And
sometimes that happens and it can't be helped.
You would think they would have some sort of space condoms at that point.
Yeah, imagine space condoms. Space condoms.
Space condoms? I don't know if we need one.
Yeah, that's the commercial for space condoms. Gravity works against it. How would space sex happen with gravity? Like,
it's a whole thing. Like, there's like a whole thing with like NASA where it's like they're like, how do you have sex in space?
Well, how do you even masturbate in space? Because like maybe sex isn't going to happen because you're on the job.
Well, you don't really need gravity to masturbate.
Yeah, gravity. Yeah.
It's friction, like with your on your body.
I need gravity to masturbate.
Those titties gonna be pulled to earth.
I need pressure.
You get pressure.
The pressure is your muscles in your arm. Yeah. Like, it has nothing to do with gravity.
Or you just like, or you have to be crushed by like something heavy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against being crushed by something. You act as though that's not my experience with sex, but it is.
You have on this podcast said you enjoy being on the bottom.
Like crushed.
Yeah.
It's important for me to get places where I need to go.
You can't get to space until they solve the gravity problem.
Who is this? Spock?
Yep.
Spock looks like an elegant, elderly British actress.
Yes.
From like the 1940s. She looks like Vanessa Redgrave right now. Why is he holding his hands like that?
He was meditating. So Vulcans are a species that have very strong emotions. But they suppress them.
They have very strong emotions.
Yes.
I thought their whole thing was that they were very logical and felt no emotions.
No, they have emotions, but they spend their whole lives trying to suppress them. They're very savage and violent people if
every
like they don't.
Man I've dated.
And he's half human, so it's double trouble for him.
He's a muglug.
Yes. The neck around the uniforms.
Yes.
They only had one needle that could actually do that neck ribbing.
Oh, yeah?
So they took the needle home with them every day so that it wouldn't get lost. It was such a hard needle to find.
And it was so necessary to make the ribbing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, every single, like, costume person I've ever met is the most particular people in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're fat phobic.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know what? So when I've worked on TV, the costume people are amazing. But when I've worked on commercials, they not. And I'll never forget the first commercial I ever did. I played a bride. And I'm a size 10. So I wrote on my thing, 10. And then I get there and all the dresses are a 6. And they're like, well, just try them on. I was like, I'd love to. But they're not. They're literally 4 sizes too small. And they're like, did you lie? Did you lie on your form? I was like, no, you guys just chose to not bring in my size. So then the day of, they bring me a dress that's a size 14. So it doesn't fit at all. So then they have to like sew me into it. And they're like, oh, it's pretty big, huh? And I'm like, yes. And 10 is an average size. I wouldn't say it's a hard size to find. Oh no, both of you are looking at me like it's a hard size.
I would not.
I was trying to think of like a joke and then I had nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, neither of you. But anyways, they put it on me. And then what was funny is I was looking on Instagram the other day and the man that designs like Mindy Kaling, like the Mindy Project costumes and all of her work and stuff was saying like, I can dress any size because it's all about fit and it's easy to do stuff like that because I'm trained to do that. And then I was like, yes, good. And that's all. That's the end of that story. And then I just threw shade at Toronto costume designers in the comment section and he liked it.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, let the costume designers know. Is that... Is she somebody?
Yeah, that's Nichelle Nichols, Uhura.
She's famous, right?
She
was the bar of the first on-screen interracial kiss.
That's her. Yeah, yep. That's her. And now she barely has a...
Well, she didn't have, like, a big role in the TV show either. She's the communications officer.
Is it that they had to, like, pretend that she was, like, part alien to make it okay or something?
No,
like
they
that?
Had to pretend that they were being forced to do it. Aliens were forcing them to kiss.
Oh, my God.
And not that he wouldn't have kissed her or something. I mean, he will fuck anything, but...
Jesus Christ.
He probably fucked a green chick at some point.
Hey, yeah.
You won't fuck anything. You and Captain Kirk have a lot in common.
Ribbed necklines.
You both love things ribbed for your pleasure.
Old skin. As if. I never even used a condom like that. They don't exist.
Ribbed condoms?
Yeah, they definitely exist.
100% exist.
I don't understand.
Either that or I got a particularly disgusting condom that I use.
Ribbed for your pleasure or my pleasure?
Your pleasure.
Yeah, it's for the girl's pleasure. It's not.
I feel nothing.
It does nothing for the guys.
It wouldn't do anything for me.
Have you used a ribbed condom?
No.
Well, how do you know?
I refuse. I don't use condoms, baby.
Literally the last episode, you got mad at me and Patrick for doing that bit for an hour.
That was before I realized condoms suck.
There you go. Come over to our side. Just pull out and pray.
Don't pull out.
No, please pull out.
Nah. Let's all have babies together.
I went to a party where there was a 2-year-old baby, and in 10 minutes, I was like, I will never have kids.
Why? 2-year-olds are funny.
Why is there a baby at a party?
I don't know, man. My friends are getting older.
Yeah,
babies are allowed to be at parties. I don't really want a kid either, but I'll allow them to be at parties.
I mean, you can't get, like, blackout drunk with kids around. It seems irresponsible.
I mean,
it was
4
in the afternoon when I was there. So
it
was only halfway to
blackout. And was it a daycare?
Yeah, it was the party of daycare. Like, I had the wrong address.
You could get blackout drunk. But that's not good for anybody.
This is a pretty 1980s CG.
Is
this
CGI?
This is the first full, like, CG-produced clip in movies.
It looks like everything I used to look at on the computer when I was in 1994.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like Encarta, Encyclopedia Encarta.
Oh, man, Encarta. Deep cut.
Yeah. That was my first CD-ROM.
Just clicked on things to see if there was new animations.
Yeah.
I ain't learning shit.
That's how I learned about Saturday Night Live, because they had Saturday Night Live in there.
In Encarta.
Yeah, and all they had was Bill Murray singing happy birthday to Abraham Lincoln to the bus, being like, happy birthday, Mr. President. It's very funny. And then they have the one where, I forget who it is, who I think it might be John Belushi, where he lifts something that's too heavy and both of his arms rip off and then they shoot out blood. Do you know that sketch?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. Was that John Belushi?
It was Jim.
Oh my God. No, it's not Jim.
Was Jim Belushi ever on SNL? Does
anyone remember? Yes, no. Jim Belushi was on SNL.
Huh.
In the bad years. The lost years.
The bad years? So from then until now?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I watched a sketch that I thought was funny.
Recently?
Yeah, but like on Instagram TV or something like that. Well, not funny enough.
In the last like... last like 4 years, each episode has like one like actually very good sketch.
Well, you know what it is too? We are their prime demographic. Everything is pitched, besides the like cold open, most of the content is pitched directly at our age group. And all of the references, everything is like nostalgia for us.
Mm.
And that's why like every episode I'm like, yes, I enjoy that. And everybody else is like, and by everybody else, I mean my mom and dad, because they tape it for me on their DVR.
No, there are some that I think there's genuinely some that, oh my, what's my computer?
The thing? DVD, I think, started up again.
Oh shit, okay.
John, this man's chest is unbelievable. It's unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life. And he's with literal Chippendales dancers. Why is there such a space between his pecs?
Just how ripped he is, I guess. I don't know. A lot of side lifts.
I think he has pec implants.
I feel like that probably wasn't a thing back then.
But he might have been the first.
Even boob implants weren't like big in the 80s.
I mean, yeah, maybe he's like a pioneer of pec implants. Mm. Like, that's why it looks so strange. It's like they're like, this is the best they could do at 1980.
Maybe he's just injecting straight steroids into his nips.
Yeah.
He might be injecting wild stuff into his chest.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me that that didn't happen in the 80s, you're wrong. So what's happening right now?
There's going to be a space battle.
Now,
this ship is coming up to them, and it's a friendly ship, but they're not answering their hails. So they are like, what's going on here? These people are talking to us. Yeah, they don't know he's on there yet.
Villains fucking love being villains in movies, eh? You can tell he's just relishing every word he's saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the most fun acting you can do is being a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows he's smarter than everyone. He's a super villain who's a superhuman.
I heard Jack Black on Conan O'Brien's podcast, and apparently he was a part of a pilot that didn't get picked up, and it was written by Dan Harmon and him and somebody else.
Heat Vision and Jack.
Yeah, Heat Vision and Jack. And apparently when he gets... when he sees sunlight or something, he gets all the knowledge in the world. And it's just him getting like hit by sunlight and then going, I know everything. And I just want to see it so badly.
Ooh, software update.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Update. This is the most tech issues this has
had. Yeah, like we've never had a problem with the actual movie. It's always been the microphones.
Well, maybe it'll be both today.
No, the mics are doing fine, right?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Here's my issue with the movie. I guess stuff is happening, but it feels all very one tone to me. Especially because a lot of people can't emote.
It's been a slow go up until now. Now they'll start, like, doing things, mostly.
Like, do they do stuff with each other, like, sensually speaking?
No.
See, like, you can't have a movie without that. What are the stakes then if you don't want to sleep with people? Starship Troopers knew that.
Stay alive?
Yeah, I think that's the main goal in this movie, is to stay alive.
Then you're like, what is living then?
Yeah, I guess what
I is. I mean, he's not going to be able to fuck if he's dead.
Well,
someone could fuck him, but he's not going to be enjoying that because he's dead.
The last thing he says before he dies is like, no, I had so much more fucking to do.
God, I hope that's not what I say on my deathbed, but it's 100% what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Here,
you hitting on nurses? Get over here.
Hey, He looks so much like Cillian Murphy. Also, that was the best acting I've ever seen. He says something about putting up the shields. And he goes, raise them. And then he goes like this. I can't. And then slams his head. This does feel like a ship. Like a ship going down.
This is better. Ship is crashing.
Don't say that, business. Titanic.
Than the TV series has.
Yeah, where they just rock back and forth gently.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even in, like, Next Generation, they're still like,
Yeah.
Like, the only Star Trek that I really watched, I've seen a good chunk of Next Generation, but I watched all of Deep Space Nine and truly loved it. Deep Space Nine's great. I have not rewatched it recently, but I remember loving Deep Space Nine.
Who's that? Is that Patrick Stewart?
No. It's after Patrick Stewart. It's like a DJ Nine, instead of it being like a ship, it's like a city.
And what's happening to the one that Claire's in?
That's Discovery.
Discovery. Is that one good?
What's the new one?
Yep,
that's
the new one.
Is it good?
I haven't really watched it.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Why is the J.J.
Abrams... better.
Why is the J.J. Abrams one bad?
Yeah, why don't you like it?
Because they're garbage.
Expand.
I don't know. The story is garbage. The premise is garbage. The acting is garbage. The visuals are garbage. The whole thing is garbage from ass to tit.
Now, do we think the acting in this is good, John?
It's better than some other
It's not
movies.
Good. It's not great.
Great. It's 80s.
You know, a lot of things came out in the 80s that was pretty good. You know, Sophie's Choice, Kramer versus Kramer.
Never seen either of those.
You never seen Sophie's Choice? Ow, I hurt myself. Sophie's Choice is really sad.
Yeah,
Kramer versus Kramer is great, but also that might have been 79, still pretty close to the 80s.
70s.
Tootsie came out in the 80s. Great acting. You seen Tootsie, Alex?
Yep.
Because I'd watch that again. I love that movie. But apparently, I was listening to someone talking about it, and they said, Tootsie, the movie where a bunch of men explain to women why the woman's experience is hard. I was like, yeah, you're right.
That was Tootsie.
It's like because. A man experiences like, oh, this is hard. You're now allowed to say that it's hard. Before, I don't think so.
You watched Marriage Story yet?
Oh my God, I fucking loved it. Did you like it?
It's Noah Baumbach.
I thought it was very theater. Like, it felt like a play.
Oh my God, that's the thing that made me like rub against it a bit. I'm like, I've been trapped in this play before.
Well, there's a part where like the sister is like really nervous to serve him the divorce papers. And then she goes, I'm thirsty. And he goes, would you like a glass of water? Okay. And I was like, this is a play. Like the action of like drinking. It just was very like. But I just listen, I'm not an Adam Driver fan.
What?
Sorry.
I love him.
But he's a very good actor. Like, I'm not going to sit here.
What about his chest?
Yeah.
He does have a meaty chest. Like, the one of pretty thick, like Ricardo Montalbán's. I really liked it. I think Scarlett Johansson will win an Academy Award.
For Adam Driver's chest?
Yeah. If she gets put in for supporting. If she gets put in for best actress, probably not. But I think she should also be put in for Jojo Rabbit. She's amazing in that movie. And I did not think she was a good actor before. She does like
the reason I brought up Marriage Story, because it reminded me so much of Kramer vs. Kramer.
Yeah, it is. It's a modern Kramer vs. Kramer. But I think it showcases the lawyer, like the experience of with a lawyer much better.
Okay.
Like, it really, really nails, like, lawyers get people all revved up.
Is this digital? That shot of the space station? Or was that?
No, it's practical.
What does practical mean? Like a drawing or like a small
physical model?
Like
a
little model.
Is this a little model?
They're not
model?
Very small, actually, but yeah.
This is a set.
That's a set? It looks really small.
Oh. Yeah, this.
These are both models.
Wow.
They're about like 6 foot long, each of them.
That's so cool. I kind of miss this.
I do, like. It's kind of getting a little bit of a resurgence of like making certain things practical. Like even like just like the Baby Yoda is like a practical puppet.
I fucking love Baby Yoda.
And like people are losing their shit.
Yeah. Do you know why he became a puppet?
Because Werner Herzog
said, make him a puppet, you cowards.
Yeah.
And then when he saw him on set, he cried. I love this smattering of blood on Kirk's bib, I guess.
Yeah, that's the blood from the chief engineer's nephew who died during the attack.
Does he wear it as a badge of honor?
Well, he just hasn't had time to change his uniform.
Oh, because it just is. Seems like he could just do up the part to hide
it's too warm now. He has to let that chest breathe.
It's a lot of chest work in this.
He just sees Ricardo Montalban's chest, and he's like, oh, we can do that?
Am I allowed? She has cool eyes, like a vampire.
There's a sequel to this movie, like a direct sequel. Like it picks up like 2 days later, Search for Spock.
Okay.
Christy Alley was recast because she asked for 10 times the amount that she had in this movie.
But was all the men getting paid 10 times more than her?
Well, yeah, it's the 80s.
Who recast?
She was like a nobody still. So
you know, good for her.
Who did she get recast as?
Robin Curtis. Which
famous Robin Curtis.
Yeah, she didn't really do anything that memorable.
Now I want to look at what she looks like. Let's see. Ow.
Robin Curtis. Yeah, it's not close.
So what does Ricardo Montalban want from these people?
It's just revenge. He's here to fuck shit up.
And like, what is his end game? Like, will he take over?
He wants to kill him.
I like the idea of like, it's just revenge, fuck shit up, doesn't care how. That he's like beamed himself on the Enterprise and just took a dump in like someone on someone's chair. It's like, who? Like, he's just like a weird prankster who lives in.
Yeah, he's George Clooney.
Yeah.
George Clooney on the set of ER. Yeah.
He keeps like making sure people lose their keys.
I just had this here a second ago. Khan. It's my wrath. Is that Chekhov?
Yep.
Is Chekhov dead?
No.
The guy that played Chekhov in the new one died in such a sad way.
Yeah, checking his mail.
Yeah. He was adorable. I feel like he would have definitely like been an award-winning actor. He was on a trajectory.
He was on something good that wasn't Star Trek. Where I saw him in something that was
Like Crazy? Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Okay, Like Crazy was a romantic drama with him and Felicity Jones and Jennifer Lawrence. And it's literally like she's British and he's American. She goes to school in L.A. And they fall in love. And then she's like, oh, I have to go back because if I don't go back, my visa's all fucked. And then they're like, well, you got to go back for a wedding anyways. And she's like, yeah, but I'm just so in love with you. So then they end up spending the summer together, but she has to go back for this wedding regardless. She goes back for the wedding and they're like, yeah, you're not allowed to go back to the States. You fucked with your visa. And then it's them being like, oh, our love, we're trying to. And it's like, why didn't you just fucking go home like 2 weeks earlier? Like, it's the lowest stakes. It's just them struggling to have a long distance relationship.
I do like that. Imagine you pitch that. Like, imagine it's like, she really fucked up and didn't solve her visa problem.
And it's like,
that she could have easily solved.
They show you the solve in the movie. You go home at this time.
Yeah.
You got to go home for that wedding regardless. So you're going to go home 2 weeks later anyways. And it's them like having like a romantic weekend together and her being like, no, I can't do it. I was like, I feel bad for no one in this movie. And then she goes back to London and they have a tough time and they get a breakup and she dates someone super hot and he starts dating Jennifer Lawrence and it's like, what's the problem here? You don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyways, rest in peace, Anton. Yeah, I forget his name. Anton Yevanovich or something.
Yelchin or something.
Yelchin,
like that.
Yeah.
Well, don't check your mail anymore.
I don't already.
Well, you know what it was? Because his driveway was on like an angle.
Yeah, and his car wasn't in park for whatever reason. Like, how do you not park your car?
I think he needed like an emergency brake as well because it's such a like a...
What a dumb way to die, though.
I like the idea that you like...
checking your mail.
He's like, looking at the house to like live in and he's like, man, this driveway is steep. It's like, don't worry, your car's got park on it. Like, he's like, yeah, there's no way this will come back to bite me.
Yeah.
It'll be a minor inconvenience at best.
Rest in peace. You have so much outfits on the ship. Where's all their closets? When do they eat? When do they go to the bathroom?
Do Do you ever see the bathroom in the Enterprise?
No, famously, you do not see any bathrooms in Star Trek.
Do they eat?
They have bathrooms on the ships. Like, if you have the blueprints for the ships, there are bathrooms.
Them blueprints?
I got all the blueprints. They do eat in the original series and the TV show. They show a lot more of them eating and stuff. They'll be eating an apple later in this movie.
And gravity doesn't affect them because...
Well, they have gravity because the ship has, like, gravity plates in it. They generate artificial gravity.
Okay.
Do you think artificial gravity, like, feels different? Like, the same way, like, artificial sugar tastes different?
Yeah, like, it's sweet, but it's not good. Yeah. So, like, it's like, I feel heavy, but it's awful.
I get back on Earth, I'm like, oh, this is what gravity feels like. I've missed it.
It's like my friends.
You feel crazy.
We went to the cottage years ago, and everyone did shrooms for the first time.
Yeah.
And two of them got sunburns during the day that they did not realize until they took the shrooms. And then it was just them lying on the ground being like, I feel 1,000 pounds. And I feel like that's what the gravity would feel like here. Oh, so he's speaking through him right now.
Yeah, he's trying to get them to do what he wants.
Due to the brain. The brain worms.
Wheels, yeah.
Why are they fighting it then? Shouldn't they just do it?
They've made an oath to Starfleet not to do these bad things.
But if the brain is being controlled, why are they able to have free agency?
I mean, they kind of do, they kind of don't.
That doesn't make any sense.
You'll see, like...
Oh, so when he doesn't do it, it hurts. Okay. So, they explained it themselves. Thank you, John.
Yeah, the only real way to get out of the situation is to blast yourself away.
Suicide.
Fun. Imagine, so there's two of them, right? One of them blasts himself away to fix the brain worms. The other one's like, I'm not doing that.
He doesn't.
I'm doing exactly what
John. Because he's not the black actor.
True.
Like, literally the only black guy with lines...
What's her face?
Okay, so she's a woman.
Fine.
So specific. Wow, that sucks that, like, that other guy didn't wait 2 seconds for the thing to just crawl out of his ear.
Yeah.
Bad decision making all around.
Yeah, it's like, there's only one way out. No, there's multiple ways out. One way out. Yeah. That guy just really wanted to kill himself.
What episode of The Simpsons is when Chief Wiggum says... And the only way out is suicide. I can't remember what it is, but it's in my head. I gotta look this up.
But Simpsons are her Star Trek.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, forgot about Robin Curtis.
Do you know people like this movie when it was released? Like, was it like...
Yeah, this was like it. Like, okay. People were really into it. They thought it was going to do terrible, but like it did way better than expected.
Were the Star Trek fans like into it, or was it just like...
They were not into the fact that when the script got leaked that Spock died.
Mm.
But they sort of fixed that by the end of the movie.
Spock's not really in this movie.
He's in a lot of it.
No, enough.
He's in more of the end of it.
I feel like, was Spock also a part of the Patrick Stewart one too?
He was on the several episodes.
Yeah, right?
Like two or three.
I remember him well. I remember my dad's friend Steve coming over, and he always wanted to watch Star Trek, and it would be us waiting upstairs being like, is Star Trek over?
He didn't want to be in this movie anymore. He did this movie with the promise of, like, he was done after this.
What else has Leonard Nimoy done?
He did, Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes! That's... Okay. I was like, why is he so prevalent in my life, yet I've never seen an episode of Star Trek?
And he had a... career as a photographer doing nude photos of plus size women.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm proud of him.
And he also did that Hobbit song?
Yes.
He also was on that great episode of The Simpsons.
He had a musical career. So did William Shatner. He had a couple albums.
The spoken word album.
Yeah. Yeah, Rocket Man. Rocket Man. Are these two going to realize that they love each other?
No, she doesn't show up ever again.
Of course. She's a First Wives Club. Have you seen First Wives Club?
No, I have not.
Big mistake. Huge.
I have to watch that fucking movie.
We are going to watch that so hard. And you're going to fucking love it. It's so good and it's so funny.
I don't think I'm
going to
love
you're
it.
You're going to love it.
Half this podcast is her showing me rom-coms that I don't need to watch.
Here I am. In the middle of Star Trek. What did you show me?
Ex Machina you hated.
I didn't hate Ex Machina. I just thought it was going to be cooler.
What was the one you hated? There was one you truly couldn't do.
Mad Max.
Mad Max you hated, yes.
But the original with Mel Gibson. I found it very boring.
You were conflicted, the movie, though.
It was a lot. Mel Gibson, I don't like him. Famously. But it's an undeniable thing that he's ruggedly handsome in a way that I have not seen before. The entire movie was me fighting the urge of being like, no, but he's like literally like an abusive, sexist, racist. But I just wanted to kiss him. It was so hard.
The waterfalls there are cotton balls behind the painting that they pull down to make it look like the water's moving.
That's so cool. I kind of want to see it again. Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is all like a painting, but it looks great.
Yeah, they use a painting amazing. And then they like put the cotton balls to like make it
see,
look like it's
moving.
See,
that shit's great. That's why Michel Gondry is a wonderful person, because he brings back the tactile special effect.
When we were watching, we were talking about that. Oh, the Evil Dead remake, where like all the gore is like so...
Yeah, it's was that one tactile or fake? I can't remember now.
Pretty tactile.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, some of it was fake, like the trees were obviously fake.
That's why it was good. Like, that's why it was entertaining, I think. I feel like special effects guys must have so many amazing stories.
They're like super nerds who are like old now and like awkward, so probably not.
Yeah. Oh no, what happened to his gorgeous chest?
Oh, he got cut up, yo.
Right where the implant would go in.
Yeah. It's just covering stitches.
Yeah.
I feel like special effects guys are probably kind of like comic book artists, where like they spend so much time kind of alone doing like really fine art.
But they must have so many practical skills of like figuring stuff out. Like,
oh yeah, definitely. That doesn't make you an interesting person.
No.
It'd be interesting to share that information.
Yes.
They all have the same hair as Ricardo Montalban in this movie.
Oh yeah.
They are stuck in.
Do you think any
era.
Of these haircuts made a trend?
Do you want to hear some real deep dumb shit?
Okay.
So the Spock haircut in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and like the DIY, like emo-y punk scene.
Okay.
Everyone just had that Spock haircut.
God.
And it's a thing of like, I wasn't around then because I was a child.
Yeah.
But I see like videos and photos of these old bands I really like, and they all look like fucking morons.
That's funny. The kid Spock from haircut. About a Boy in the movie About a Boy had the Spock haircut, but that's because he was a nerd.
No.
Chekhov's haircut is based on the Monkees.
That makes sense. He kind of looks like Mickey Dorr.
They were trying to appeal to a younger audience in the TV show, so they brought him on and gave him a monkey's haircut.
That's such a like old guy in the 60s attempt. Like, what are the kids like these days? Monkeys?
They don't play their own instruments, you know?
That's all Chekhov says in the first episode.
Yeah.
Just because I'm afraid, is the red light still on?
Yes.
Thank you.
This is not Cillian Murphy, you know? He looks so much like him.
I'm not fully sure who Cillian Murphy is.
Oh, 28 Days Later.
Oh.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, it's definitely not Cillian Murphy because he would be a full child.
I think he wasn't conceived yet. What do you call it? The first Batman? He was a scarecrow?
No one
ever talks about the first Batman.
What, Batman Begins?
Yeah. We talk about Dark Knight Rises and we talk about Bane. We don't really talk about
Batman Begins was like... probably the worst of the three.
Well, it's super boring. I watched that on a plane and I was like, who's this for? Not me.
That's fair.
It's for nerds.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I'm a nerd. You stupid nerd. I hit you in the back of my head. My sister in high school, she dated this guy, Jesse. We called him the king of the nerds because like all the music hall nerds like loved him so much because he literally was Jack Black. He did like musical comedy and he was so funny and like so charismatic, but he was a nerd too. And it was just so funny because one day we were talking about Sex and the City and he's like, you know, guys, the way you talk about Sex and the City is just as nerdy as the way that, you know, me and my friends will talk about. And then he launches into something like that's super nerdy. And we just looked at him and laughed for like 5 minutes and we were like, no.
Well, so fantasy then, football is basically D&D for jocks.
Yeah.
It's true. And Drag Race is basically real football for gay people.
What's funny about that story is that we did the Sex and the City movie and then you talked for the full 2.5 hours.
Might have felt like four.
Like the minutia of Sex and the City and the TV show and the history and like who like I said maybe four lines in that whole podcast. If you look at the waveforms of the two mics, it's just this solid like sausage of sound at a Vitae, and then an absolute sounds like two spikes of like
Yeah, but I know a lot about it. Don't you want me to share?
I thought it was kind of interesting, but it is like. You're a full fucking nerd.
Oh, yeah. I'm a super nerd for Sex and the City. I'm a nerd for TV and film.
Yeah. I'm always surprised of you being like, this actor in the background went on to be in a background in a different movie. I'm like, why would we care? Why do you know that?
Fun fact. Yeah, I do know a lot of actors. It's a gift that I've, and a curse, that I've had ever since I was a child. I can watch one thing once and I'll remember. Like the fact that I know who Ricardo Montalbán is, even though I've never seen this movie, or Fantasy Island.
These effects for the nebula were created. They filled a large tank with salt water halfway. Mm. Then they put a plastic sheet and then they filled it with regular water, unsalted water. And then they added coloring to it and they pulled the sheet slowly. And the mixture of the two densities of water make the...
Nebula looking thing.
The nebula.
That's so. See, I would watch a behind the scenes on this, like special effects of this movie.
I mean, that used to be like, I mean, now obviously you look behind the scenes, it's all just like 3D animators, like, look at this. But I remember being a kid and being like, just watching behind the scenes featurettes on things and being like, wow.
Yeah, friggin' Jurassic Park's behind the scenes is so good. Yeah.
But that was also like them inventing like that kind of like 3D technology.
And the Shining's behind the scene is so good.
Shining's behind the scene is wild.
Yeah, because it's Vivian Kubrick who did it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have to decide what we're going to do for our Oscar spectacular this year.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched anything that I've been like, yes. I mean, Parasite. But I don't think it would work on the...
No.
And like, I like Marriage Story a lot. But Star is Born...
I do Marriage Story.
Yeah, but A Star is Born is like a perfect mixture of like pop culture and it happened to be... nominated for an Oscar like that. It was more about like the cultural significance of like this ridiculously campy idea.
Yeah.
Nothing's really come out this year. I feel like I've seen a lot of movies that I've enjoyed though.
I've ever seen more good movies.
We'll do Irishman. I'll finally finish it.
I like it, but I did watch it in like 40 minute installments.
Yeah. I still have half of it to go. Apparently I've gotten up to the point where then it starts to get good. Have you seen Irishman?
No.
It's like I was like avoiding. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch a 3.5 hour movie. Like a 3.5 hour Scorsese movie to me feels like the slowest thing in the world. But it fucking moves. Like it's like really fun. Like Scorsese is obviously a good director.
Yeah.
And it's like a really fun movie. And then like
the parts that I had seen were not fun yet.
Oh really?
I've gotten up to the JFK part. Like they just finished with JFK.
I was still in at that point.
I have to finish it though and then put it into context.
It doesn't like have a twist really.
I just felt that the script was bad.
It's like, kind of like a it's like a full life. It's a Bliggs Rosman. It's like more of like you see his whole life.
Yeah.
And then it is a movie about making friends with your boss. Like
And it's obvious that like an old man directed it because everything's so goddamn slow.
I feel like it moves much faster than I thought it was going to.
In the second half. I'm telling you, I haven't gone to that part yet. You're remembering the second half.
I guess
I
started watching the beginning of that movie 2 weeks ago. So
yeah. I think I'll finish it. I think I like it. Listen, I like Goodfellas. Like I love Goodfellas. I love The Wolf of Wall Street. I think that's such a fun movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Casino.
Casino's like, if you saw Goodfellas, you've kind of seen Casino. They're like very similar.
I'd watch that again.
But I think Casino is probably more straightforward than Goodfellas. That's why it's a little more
not as good.
Some people like it more.
For me, Goodfellas is a rewatchable.
Goodfellas is very fun. Have you seen any?
No.
Really?
Oh, you should. You seen Wolf of Wall Street?
I have.
Okay.
Did you like Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you like Wolf of Wall Street, check out Goodfellas.
Yeah,
Goodfellas
you'll love Goodfellas. Is just like a fun. It's so weird because there's such villains, but it's like everyone's the villain. The way that we have fun watching the villain in this, think about every character being that. And they're all playing it so hard.
And then also, like, it's like not so much constructed weird, but it's like the first of those movies that, like, in like 90s movies where like people have voiceover randomly, like
right.
stuff like freeze frames and like all like those tricks.
Oh,
are,
it's
like,
great.
It's like, even though it's like a kind of long movie, like, it is like fast and fun and like very funny and silly. And
that's the thing. Goodfellas and Wolf of Wall Street. Wolf of Wall Street, dare I say, is a comedy.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street's like a really dark comedy at its core.
Yeah,
it's a dark comedy. Like, and you rewatch it, it makes you laugh out loud. Like, Matthew McConaughey is incredible. He should have been nominated for an Academy Award for his like 4-minute performance.
Yeah,
and like that whole thing that he did was his acting exercise. That's the and now people do it at football games.
I love the practical little screen comes out.
I love it.
This is. You know what? I know I'm half watching and I'm definitely not absorbing a lot of it. It's a hard movie. This is a hard movie to do this podcast over. But like, I'm loving the set design. I'm loving the action. I'm loving Ricardo Montalban. Like he is acting up a storm.
Yeah. And also yes, and he's alone up in that storm.
Yeah. I mean that it is like an effect of like he stands out so much because like everyone else is playing it very straight and very like almost like military people.
I just think that it feels like a toy store, like the way that all the special effects are.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But like I like it. I like that aspect.
No, I think that's great. Like, yeah. I just think that would be so fun. To the last I grapple with thee.
So he's setting off the bomb.
So he wants everyone to die?
Yeah.
Because so it's revenge. Maybe it's the wrath.
The ship's going to explode and it's going to take the other ship with it. So they have 999 seconds to get out of here. And they can't because the engine's damaged.
How many minutes is 999?
I have no idea.
Let's see.
Divide by 60. Mm-hmm. 1,000.
Is that what that is?
60.
999 divided by 60. They have 16.65 minutes. They have 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Right?
No, yep. Like, yeah, like 16 minutes and...
Oh, 65 nanoseconds or whatever, milliseconds? Does this guy know that he's... wow, look at his arm. Does this guy know he's related to fucking Kirk yet?
Yep.
Good for him. So this is Saltwater that's doing this?
Yeah. He dies in the second movie. Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert for a movie that I for sure will never watch. my hot apartment's really lulling me into like a little cocoon.
Yeah, we got. Oh man, I mean, we can probably start doing it in my apartment.
Like, no, my apartment's great.
You still want to go all the way to Little Italy?
Well, next week we're going to be doing it on location.
Oh yeah, that's
for dog sitting at Bathurst in the lake.
That makes it easier for me to get to from work.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sweet. Vulcan, my. It that's, sounded like he said fucking, but he said Vulcan.
I like the idea that in this universe, that's kind of a slur.
That
like,
is a racial
just,
slur.
Yeah, just like, are you out of your Vulcan mind? We had sensitivity training.
That's why Isaiah Washington got fired from Grey's Anatomy.
Yep.
What?
Because he is a homophobe.
He used a homophobic slur.
What? So this,
yeah, did you not know that?
Nah, the Grey's Anatomy is not exactly the news I'm following.
Well, this was, what, 17 years ago when this happened? Oh, okay. So basically, it was terrible. He called an out cast member an F word, but he wasn't out in Hollywood. He was out to everybody. And then it forced him to come out. And then Isaiah Washington got fired.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You might, I might add this out. Do you see what happened to that, like, hip hop Shakespeare reboot? That's supposed to be go up in like Toronto.
No.
What's this?
So it's like there's like doing a hip hop version of Hamlet. You know, really fucking
swinging, you know,
for
what?
The creative fences.
You're making me feel like I've seen this in theater school. But anyways, go on.
This is like happened a few weeks ago, and it was an all black cast. except for a white director. Mm-hmm. And in a rehearsal, he says the N-word to them and will not apologize.
Why?
Because it's like, we're all working together. It's in the script. And it's like...
But then why didn't he... Why wouldn't he apologize if they said that that offended them?
Old white theater guy thinks he's doing the right thing. I don't know.
But he knows that he's on the wrong side of history.
I don't think that's it. But the reason I know this is that one of Maul's friends was doing set design for them, or lighting design. Mm-hmm. And so she was working, and then she showed, like setting up stuff in the theater. Like they're getting like close at this point. Like the show's going to go up. And a producer comes in and is like, stop what you're doing. Show's canceled. And then she's like, huh?
What?
Wow. And they wouldn't tell her what happened. And then she's like invoicing them, being like, please pay me for my work. Like, I'm on vacation. Whoa. We're kind of going to use the money from this to go on vacation. And then it wasn't until she ran to someone else in the cast, like on the street, and was like, what happened? And then told her what happened. And then was like in the news or in like Now Magazine or some shit.
Whoa. Recently. Yeah. What a fucking idiot. He destroyed an entire production, a bunch of people's salaries, because he didn't want to apologize for the use of a racial slur.
Yeah.
What a loser.
I mean,
who's the director?
I don't fucking know.
This is me on my phone. Also, I am loving these Shakespearean soliloquies that Ricardo Montalbán keeps doing. He keeps being like, from thy hate's heart, I shall stab at thee. Yeah, he's talking about the ship.
He does a lot of Shakespeare and a lot of Moby Dick.
Does he?
Yeah.
I forgot I was looking at this.
I caught some of the Moby Dick stuff. Have you ever read Moby Dick?
No, but I saw the Patrick Stewart TV movie.
Okay. I don't know how you make a movie out of it. Because Moby Dick is like one of those like old style like serialized things. So like, the first 100 pages are sleep-inducing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Truly boring. But then after that, it just gets insane. And it becomes maybe one of the funniest books I've ever read in my life. Like, it's truly so funny.
Really? Why?
Because like the book is kind of about like how elites are steering you wrong, and you can get very specific in it, and there's also like long parts I just kind of skim through. I'm like, I don't get this at all. But the microcosm of it is this like kind of swashbuckling
Was it at Hard House?
I think so.
Was it called Prince Hamlet?
No. It's called like Here and Now or something. Or,
oh yeah, this is in February.
It just becomes like full insane. Like it's like, and like they keep having gay sex even though they're told not to. They keep like, there's like a scientist who's like, I know everything there is to know about whales. I'm gonna write a book about it. Keeps bragging about it. Then one chapter you get to is this book, and the book is like 5 pages or whatever. And it's immensely boring. It's just listing a whale type and then the facts about the whale. Mm-hmm. But he really only has 2 facts about each whale, which is, one, they are fish, which whales are not. Mm-hmm. And two, that they don't know anything about this whale. And it's just a listing whales for 5 pages. It goes insane like so quickly in a way that's like kind of like, we're going to get this giant fish and like a swashbuckle and like, yeah. Oh, this person falls off. And then like the last, like next 400 pages are them like, we all think we're going to get this whale. What do we do?
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Okay, listen up. First of all, it was Macbeth, not Hamlet.
Okay.
It's Weston Theatre Company puts on hip-hop version of Shakespeare's Hamlet. So what's on? Deja Roberts Abdullah was in it. She's like a working performer. I keep seeing the director's last name, which is Stewart. Marcel Stewart. Now I got to look up. And it says, editor's note. This event was canceled after our story published. No reason was given for the cancellation.
Hmm. No reason. Breaking news here on the podcast.
Breaking news.
No, I saw like an article that someone shared, and I was like, "Oh, that's the thing I heard from." This is the new Star Trek. They do this scene.
Yeah, except Kirk dies.
Yeah.
No, Marcel Stewart. Nah, this must not be the director because this guy's black, and he works a lot. What happens here that they look at
Spock each other? Is dying. He went and fixed the problem, but in the process, he took a lot of radiation. So he's going to die.
It's logical that he'll die. He's correct.
And Hallmark, in their wisdom, made a Christmas ornament of this scene. So you can have an ornament hanging on your tree of a man watching his best friend die.
Oh, with his gross little face.
I mean, that is kind of the story of Christmas.
Eventually that baby will die. Does he die?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole thing.
But then does he come back to life? Oh, okay.
In the next movie.
In the next one.
Where they he directs the next movie, so he's not in it a lot until the very end.
Ew, his skin.
Is this your favorite Star Trek movie?
This one, yeah.
This one, yeah. If you had to I'm sure people listening would give a shit about this. If you had to organize Star Trek movies, what would it go?
Wrath of Khan, First Contact, Undiscovered Country, Voyage Home.
Undiscovered Country is a great name for a movie.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's like the second best one of these guys.
Oh, okay.
Voyage Home is when they go find a bunch of whales and bring them back into the future. They go back in time to get whales. It's a comedy mostly. They originally were going to cast Eddie Murphy in that movie.
That's funny.
Wow. To be like the comedic element, but they didn't cast anyone.
That's very funny.
And then you also just be like, then the rest.
Then the rest, yeah.
What about Chris Pine? You ever see what he looks like with the face?
Like, wait, your soft self for the Star Trek movies are. Let me tell you. you got a face you can kiss.
I remember when I saw Chris Pine for the first time. It was on Saturday Night Live. He did a weekend update with the guy that played the new Spock. Yeah, and it was before the movie. Yeah, Zachary Quinto. And it was before the movie came out. And Mina had known about him. And I was watching it with Mina. And I was like, she's like, look at this new actor. And we were both like, I never knew. But it's just so disappointing. If you look, his career went. Like, I know he's in Wonder Woman. And like,
yeah.
He's successful, but like, I don't know.
He's not a great actor.
Is it that he's bad?
He's kind of
shitty.
He's
one note, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of does like one thing every time.
I just never seen a face like that.
You know
what
his like dream roles would be? Is like effectively what Bradley Cooper started his career on, where he's like the asshole douchebag in a movie.
In like a comedy or something.
Like if he was like Bradley Cooper in Wedding Crashers, where he's like
he would have been good.
He would have, like, that's like the Chris Pine role. But that's all he can do, where Bradley Cooper has at least some range.
Do you guys like, have you seen Wonder Woman?
The first one, yeah, it was good.
It was a good, because it doesn't really look good.
I didn't really like it.
The next one?
Okay.
It wasn't terrible. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
The woman that plays Wonder Woman.
It's just kind of there.
It's probably one of the better DC movies.
Look, man, low bar.
Listen, that's what we have to rate it against.
Just because the woman that plays Wonder Woman in the new trailer, because I watched that new trailer a couple times because I kind of like the idea of it, but I know I won't go see the movie. She just seems so boring.
Gal Gadot is also like part of a, I don't want to say IDF, but I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, she's an Israeli soldier.
Yeah. She was an Israeli soldier.
Yeah, but all Israeli people have to be a soldier at like 21 or something. That's why the birthright exists, because they want you to live in Israel before you're 21.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have no thoughts on Israel or Palestine. Please cut this out.
No hot takes?
Please cut this out.
That is also a recurring topic on
this
podcast.
The song Amazing Grace survives all these millennia.
I like that in Next Generation, kind of a plot point is that they still love Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And then also that, like, I believe, I'm trying to remember, but like Riker is like into like American muscle cars. Or like 1950s culture or something?
No, I don't think it was Riker who was in the cars. It was Tom Paris and Voyager who was in the cars.
Okay, yeah.
Riker played the trombone. He was in the jazz.
That's right. Which is like very, which I feel like it's like such like pitched directly at like the age of the writers of that show.
Yes.
Because imagine that you were like, because the distance of time, imagine you were just like, no, I'm into this specific era of Victorian art. Like, I'm into this 10-year period of Victorian art.
The guy
art.
That's super into jazz is always being like, you guys ever heard of jazz? And all
they
the women
play anything.
Yeah, all the women on the ship are like, come on, man.
Just Riker corning a woman in the in Enterprise, just being like,
you gotta listen to the notes they don't play.
I mean, he does fuck.
Just Riker explaining bebop to a very bored empath.
Yeah.
Just a fucking Vulcan being like, okay. She just does the Vulcan mind grip on herself. And
In the new Star Trek Discovery, they do like put popular culture stuff from now in it. Like, oh, yeah? I think they play Beastie Boys in it. And they did Beastie Boys in the movies
in the
as
movie,
well.
They did the Beastie Boys, yeah.
I don't know.
That was one of my favorite of the new movies. When it was
the third one?
The other guy, it was directed by the guy who did Fast and Furious. Because it's just, at that point, just a straight up action movie. I'm like, this is fun.
That was actually the only one I really liked.
Because it's just a straight up action. Yeah. Like, there's no Star Trekiness to it at all.
It's not a J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
I think he just produced it. I don't think anything really else to do
with it. Zoe Saldana's in those, right?
Yes.
So she gets to be an alien in that movie and in Galaxy of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Galaxy of the Guardians?
That's pretty good for her, man. She gets to be green in two different movies.
She's not green in Star Trek.
Aww.
She's black.
But a different type of black. It's still hours of makeup.
Why'd you say that with such disdain in your voice? Alex, you have to edit out a lot of what I said in this podcast.
Oh, I'm going to make it louder.
Sulu does fuck all in this movie.
Yeah, he was not pleased with his reduced role. So in Undiscovered Country, he becomes the captain of his own ship.
And no one ever talks or saw that movie.
It's one of the good ones.
Is it?
Yeah, it's about... it's an allegory for the Chernobyl explosion.
Huh.
Where Starfleet has to go to the Klingons because they had a power production facility that exploded. And they have to go to the Klingons to, like, hey, we'll help you. We'll make peace. Like, try and bring you into the fold to save their race.
I think that's cool about Star Trek that they're like, it's, what would you call it, parables?
It's the only modern version of, like, a parable.
Yeah, it's a modern day parable.
You don't really make those anymore.
No, I mean, sometimes we do, but then it just seems kind of obvious and, like, not good storytelling.
Now I make parables, it's like Elysium or something, where I'm like, okay, could you hit it on the nose any harder?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, the parables that are like that you're not supposed to realize they're a parable are always really cheesy. But I'm trying to remember what would be. I don't know. I'm warm and I'm just like slowly stroking my hair and it's so comforting to me.
I guess like Parasite's kind of a parable.
Parasite is a parable. Actually, Parasite's is a Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah, have you seen Parasite yet?
No.
Oh, you gotta see Parasite. You gotta see Parasite.
Okay.
It's one of the best movies I've seen in 10 years.
We're like, not even overselling it. Yeah. You'll like it so much. Just try not to know what it's about.
Yeah, just go in.
Go in.
I assume it's about a parasite.
No.
No.
Well, it's like a metaphorical thing. It's a Korean movie. It's really fucking good.
It's really good. It's really interesting. And it's funny and scary.
All right.
Yeah, it toes a line of genre that you're going to be like, how'd you do all of those things at once well?
Yeah, because it's great. And that's why the Golden Globe nominations are fucking ridiculous this year.
I have not looked at them yet. I've never been tweeting about it.
It got nominated for director and it got nominated for best foreign film, but it didn't get nominated for best picture, but best drama. The Two Popes got nominated. I saw that at TIFF.
Yeah.
And like, yes, the beginning of the movie and the end of The Two Popes, great. The middle is like something done by a bad student director. It's like...
It's just Two Popes talking, baby.
You wish. No, it's flashbacks. I wish...
That's what I wish from a movie, just Two Popes talking.
When the two of them talk, it's the most entertaining... It's like the sitcom you never knew you needed.
I'm going to pause you. How do they do this with the moving stars?
It is a piece of glass or material, and they pinprick it, and then they just move the camera around it.
That's pretty bad.
But it moves in such a way that it looks like it's like 3D. Like it doesn't look like a plane moving in front of me.
Yeah, it's probably like several layers that they've layered on top of each other because you can see like you're moving.
And then
like,
how do you do this?
Yeah, it's several layers composited on top of each other, most likely.
Dear God.
It's over!
I enjoyed that more than I thought I would, even though I was not like engaged with it hard.
It's one of the better ones.
I might give it another go.
You're
myself.
You're gonna give it another go, eh?
I might do that.
John,
I feel like there's no way.
I'm so appreciative that you've come to my very hot apartment, and you brought us delicious movie popcorn. But this movie is everything that I hate in the movie. There was not, yes, Ricardo Montalban, though technically handsome, there was not one guy in this that I wanted to put my mouth on top of.
Not Ricardo!
I mean, obviously in real life, if he hit on me and was very smooth, I'd have to sleep with him. But no. Maybe Leonard Nimoy I'd throw it at.
Nimoy's your second grab?
Yeah, baby. Anyways, but I'll just say, no, I just don't like sci-fi. There's just nothing in it for me. And I mean sexually. No, but thank you so much for coming.
Yes,
how was your experience?
I've seen this movie a trillion times.
Yeah, how many times have you seen it? We forgot to ask.
I have no idea. A trillion, probably.
Like, when do you put it on? Like, to feel nice?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah?
Like, maybe once a year.
It's like a safety movie in a way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch it once a year? Yeah, I think I watch like, The Shining once a year, I think.
I watch this particular pornography.
Oh, boy. What? Pornography.
Armageddon?
Yes, Armageddon, my pornography.
Oh, man.
Finally.
Fucking
finally
Liv Tyler.
A dad and son.
Yeah. Liv Tyler.
The same
Ben Affleck. Bruce Willis. Three-way.
All related.
All time. Daddy's. Anyways, John, I have to leave to go meet some people for 9:30, but this has been...
This has been very fun.
Awesome.
Utter pleasure.
Make sure you sign up for the Canadian Podcast Awards.
Oh, yeah. Plug stuff.
Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but you have to nominate your podcast.
I thought I had.
You
check into it.
Mm-hmm. Did I not nominate my podcast?
Both of you do it, so you get at least two nominations.
Oh, great.
Oh, like we have to keep...
Oh, that part. Okay, yeah, we'll do that part.
Yeah, and then the voting round starts in January, and then PodCamp is in February.
Do you want to do... You can pitch stuff.
PodCampToronto.com. It's a conference for podcasters and any sort of digital media.
Oh, yeah, we forgot creators. To introduce like who you were.
Yeah, we were the same person. We forgot to do the bare minimum of podcast guests.
Oopsie. Anyways, I hope we
win an award.
We have to win an award. This is the vision of Lucasfilm. Oh, my God. He has his hands in everything that says star.
Yeah, ILM did this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Same time they were doing Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
Thank you so much for coming
Thank you so much.
Go check out PodCamp and nominate us for podcast
Yeah,
awards.
Guys, can you nominate us? Did we already nominate ourselves?
I think
I can look into it.
I think Mike put us on somewhere.
I did.
You did,
okay.
I know for a fact that I spent a day.
It's the number of people that nominate you that matters.
Ugh. Okay, well, we got to share it around then.
But the thing is like the Sonar podcast people said that they would nominate everybody. But here's the deal. I didn't nominate it. Like, you know what? Anyways, let's end this podcast.
All right. Thank you.
John. Happy birthday.
It's his birthday?
No.
It's not.
Merry Christmas.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.